Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from
Wednesday, and it's warmer today.
Warmer than what?
And once again, from the positive voice to the whiny one.
Do you realize that 50% of the United States right now has snow? It's not even that for Christmas, typically.
I understand that.
And to top it all off, there is not a single state in the Union that does not have temperatures below average right now. Or I think at the freezing mark somewhere.
I believe 44 states have set low temperature records.
Hey, how's that global warming working for everybody?
Unbelievable. My understanding is that Al Gore is vacationing in the Bahamas right now.
Yeah.
Where it's 40 degrees yeah. And a heat wave.
Yeah, going on his jet airplane with a very large carbon footprint.
We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin has another great vehicle he is driving around this week. But it's Sunset Orange?
Well, I think it's just called Sunset is the color it is. It's kind of an orange, kind of a red, but it is an all-wheel drive Ford Edge. And if you're going to the Buffalo New York Jets game this weekend, you may actually be able to get there with the all-wheel drive Ford Edge. The nice thing is you'll be nice and warm inside, that when you step outside, you won't mind how cold it is. But it looks like there's about 3 feet of snow right now in Buffalo on the field as we speak at Ralph Wilson Stadium. So
actually,
the Edge will get you there.
Yeah. Downtown Buffalo is not that bad, actually. But the problem is the stadium is not in Buffalo.
Right.
The stadium's in Orchard Park, which is south of the city, and that's where the belt is. If you're north of Buffalo, like take the airport, Amherst, they have 4 inches. Easier to drive the Edge there, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And you'll easily get through 4 inches of snow with the all-wheel drive Edge. You'll be able to make the trip comfortably, too, and have the lumbar support on your back as you make that trip north.
I also believe, too, the Edge gets very good gas mileage.
In the 20s.
Very good gas mileage.
In the 20s for an all-wheel drive. Not bad at all. So find out
more.
That's
very impressive.
Find out more by following me on Twitter and clicking the link there, or on Facebook as well. So it's at Kevin Herr or Kevin Herr on Facebook. And then visit Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and see how your heated seats can be nice and warm.
I thought you were going to say, follow me to Buffalo.
No.
Not going to that game, are you?
No.
He's going to Johnstown, Bob.
It's going to feel like Buffalo.
That's right. Friday night in Johnstown. Who, does it get better than that, Kevin? You'll be on the sidelines with thermal underwear, I assume.
Listen, I'm going to be sporting every kind of warmness available to me, and I'm willing to put a logo on anything as long as it's warm right now. I'll wear it. But at least, again,
I feel like I'm talking to a guy from NASCAR.
Well, you know, Steve, those Under Armour thermals felt pretty good today. I thought we had the thermals to keep me warm.
What you need, Kevin, is logos from the show's sponsor.
Which reminds me, do you ever notice on a NASCAR race, no matter how bad they are, they're 42nd, they wrecked out in the third lap. I thought we had a car that could win today. Really? Did you feel that in the parade lap?
You're awfully, again, Bob, you feel like you're just dealing with, you wonder why we brought back the Kevin Herr rant of the day.
Did you
feel it in the parade lap?
Sometimes
it's just so bitter.
I think we're all in the visitor's room at Kevin's mind, I mean, we're just sort of in there looking inside and
wow.
Yep.
This is a window to disaster.
This is Kevin on cold medicine.
That's true.
On cold medicine.
On cold medicine.
Oh yes. Oh man.
So why are you going to do an outdoor gig Friday night from the sidelines for the Sealands Grove Seals Somerset Golden Eagles game if you're on cold medicine.
I figure it can't get much worse.
Oh, well,
so, you know, no.
You may be right.
No, it's a game. I got nothing going on a Friday night. I went with a Friday night without a game last week did not work out well for me. So I thought I'd just take care of the problem and just have a game.
There you go. And the Seals.
The Seals are the only team
left from this part of Pennsylvania. A couple upsets. Southern Columbia, you know, a perennial playoff team, upset by Montoursville. Montoursville Loyal Sock go at it, but our Seals are the only team from this part of the valley that are left to go move forward to the state championship.
Absolutely. And did the other two guys know that you're going?
I actually said to them, I said, would you like me to do sideline for you or would you rather not? I said, let me know. And after thinking about it for a few minutes...
They still haven't got back to you. Yeah.
Of course, I said that I would buy dinner, so that was the selling point right there. And I said I would drive back so they could take a nap.
Oh, Bob, wait a minute. Oh, Bob, did you hear that part?
Yeah, he's buying dinner, but he won't come to our dinner the following Friday.
Well, that's because I'm buying dinner for them now, so, you know, it's...
But you won't even show up for ours.
Yeah, that's right. Kevin, do you want to tell Steve what you found out trolling the internet about the Bucknell Bison?
No, I don't want to get in too deep into it because I do realize there's one more game to play yet.
Well, but what is?
Okay, wait, no, hold on. Now he gets mad at me when I. What's going on here?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to learn my lesson from the man whose name's on the show, not to get too excited. There's still another game to be played yet for Bucknell, but. There are some projections, take it for what they're worth, that Bucknell has a pretty good shot, or a 50-50 shot, we'll say that, at maybe getting an at-large bid in the FCS tournament if things fall into place.
I see.
Which is an awesome thing for Joe Susan and the Bison.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, no, if they can do it, it'd be absolutely incredible.
Now, I'm hoping Southeastern Louisiana.
And, of course, if they do make a playoff...
It's a little bit warmer there.
Kevin gets to go fly out with the team.
Possibly.
In a way. Yeah, potential. And meanwhile, we're stuck at the Penn State-Bucknell basketball game where it's going to be very warm inside Soika Pavilion. Very warm, very comfortable, and a great dinner afterwards. And
But as Joe Susan would be the first to tell you, that's not this week. That's another week down the road that isn't even on his calendar right now. You still got to get through Colgate on Saturday.
All true.
Oh, come on. This isn't fun. Come on. Let's have some fun here. Come on.
Well, like I said, I mean, the one of the projections I saw somewhere in Iowa.
Oh, it's not very warm there.
No, it's not.
It's cold.
No, it's not. That's what I'm hoping for Southeast Louisiana. It's at least a little warmer there.
And there really aren't any Division I AA or FCS schools down in Florida, are there? Maybe like Jacksonville State or something?
Well, but Jacksonville, Jacksonville pulled themselves out of the league and the tournament championship because of an incident. What was it involving? I remember seeing it over the weekend, but I can't remember. But they did. They pulled themselves out of consideration.
Okay. But, I mean, there aren't a lot of FCS schools in the South where it's warm.
I was thinking Coastal Carolina, but I'm sure
that
they'll get a Beach. Yeah, they'll get a bye. They'll get a first-round bye.
Now, on the other hand, if you're in Division II, you get to go to places like Delta State and University of North Alabama, et cetera, Valdosta State, some nice southern schools. It is a bit warmer down there. Just in case you want to broadcast a game or two, Kevin.
Okay. Well, you know, I like warm. Warm is good. Warm is good.
And, Steve, you're going to Illinois on Friday for the Saturday game. What's the forecast out in Champaign, Urbana?
Gorgeous. Balmy. Incredible. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. It might be a little rainy, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
You know, so.
So
a little warmer than it is today?
Yeah, maybe in the low 40s, but rain is a possibility. So, hey, whatever. I mean, the only thing I get concerned about in a place like this is wind. That's the only thing I get concerned about. I could care. Like, you know, rain and snow is really irrelevant in games. It's wind that's a big, big part. Wind plays havoc with the kicking game. Wind plays havoc with the passing game. You know, rain, snow, so what? I mean, that's no big deal. Wind is the biggest one. So, you okay back there? What the heck's going on? They're all yelling and screaming back there.
Well,
have a little party we don't know about?
Not that I'm aware of. No, I was actually looking for that information. Jacksonville pulled themselves out of championship contention for the Pioneer League, and I believe also the FCS tournament. Due to a number of financial aid inconsistencies. I was trying to remember exactly how it was worded, but they were doing an internal investigation and found a number of financial aid inconsistencies.
Well, right. But again, the FCS tournament is not a moneymaker.
No.
Each round you go, you lose more money. You get to the championship game, they're like, hey, championship game, you must have picked up some cash. No. It's quite the opposite.
And Steve, the same is obviously true for the Division II and Division III schools, where they tell you, you're invited to play in Division II playoffs. It's a great thing. Oh, by the way, bring a checkbook with you, because it will cost your athletic program X number of thousands of dollars to have the honor of playing in the Division II championship football tournament. There's not a lot of money to be made at all.
No, there just isn't. It's just not, you know, and that's the way it is. I mean, that's, and so it's the same thing in women's basketball, the whole thing. People look at the women's basketball tournament. Hey, they go, no, you, if you're breaking even, you're doing well. In all seriousness, if you're breaking even, you're doing well. And in this tournament here, look, just getting there is awesome. But, you know, for Joe Susan and his program to get there would be incredible. For Kevin to actually whine about where they're going is just, I find, even more incredible.
Not whining. I am not. I am more than happy to make this trip if it indeed happens. I will be the most excited person available on Sunday at 11 o'clock if they get an invitation.
If they play, what day would they play?
Saturday, the way it looks. I mean, that's a projection.
So you wouldn't be available Friday night for dinner?
No.
Darn it.
Bob, I'm telling you right now.
More for us, Steve.
Suddenly the sun has risen. All right.
No offense to you guys, but I'd much rather do an FCS game and a championship game than hang out with you guys on a Friday night. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's a trade-off I'm willing to make. Love you guys. Not that much.
Absolutely. We want you there, too, because it's great for Bucknell.
Got to get through Saturday first, though. That's the important part.
Well, you certainly become ultra-cautious. You're not cautious on anything else until it's suddenly a personal stake.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, you got it.
Kind of sad, Bob, isn't it?
It sure is.
All right, more. But we're all really pawns in the Kevin world.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyMotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Keywords, 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Where we had an interesting opening half hour. Where suddenly where things became personal. Mr. Oh, come on, go out there and talk about it. Got real cautious. Wow, interesting.
You know, you always tell me I don't necessarily take your advice. Well, I'm taking your advice this time.
I have five words for you. Welcome to the real world. All right.
No fun here. I don't like it here.
Yeah, it's not fun in the real world, is it?
Huh? Back to Kevin's world.
By the way, the Buffalo update is 1.5 to 3 more feet of snow on Thursday, by the way.
And so, Kevin, are you going to be able to...
That one poor town had 70 inches of snow.
They have dug out from the stadium alone 220,000 tons of snow. 220,000 tons of snow before the extra 1.5 to 3 feet that's coming on Thursday.
I'm guessing Al Gore couldn't get elected dog catcher in Buffalo right now.
Listen, the snow, I'm looking at a picture. I should post this on our Facebook page as well, but I'm looking at a picture that they tweeted out of Ralph Wilson Stadium. The snow is probably about 4 feet or maybe 5 feet under the crossbar right now.
And more on the way.
It looks like the snow is level with the wall that separates the field from the stands.
Steve, I was thinking about that in relation to Beaver Stadium. You know, because obviously we're in a northern area. We do get snow during football season. The one I remember was the Minnesota game about, 3 years ago, which was like October 22nd. We had 10 inches of snow, give or take.
Sure.
And that was, not a catastrophe, but it was a real challenge. I can't imagine what 3 and 4 feet of snow would be like.
Right. Well, there's a little bit different challenge here for a couple, and one in particular. Many of the parking lots here are grass parking lots.
Right.
The parking lots around Ralph Wilson Stadium are all asphalt. So that part is easier for them and less of a challenge despite the depth of the snow. You know, they have to obviously find a place to put it. Here, something like that happens. You mentioned 10 inches.
Yeah.
You now have to put together a bus system together, and satellite parking lots are needed because you don't have paved parking lots all around the stadium. You have some, but the vast majority are in grass parking lots, so it's a different challenge. I know we have to get a guest in here, and this is Bob. This is the segment that takes Kevin over the proverbial edge because it takes all the fantasy out of sports.
Oh, we're going to talk about the real world.
Yes, we're going to talk about cash, green, money, moolah. All right, we bring in Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, for our monthly visit. Hello, Tony.
You as well. Great to be back.
All right, so college football playoff obviously is big business. It's reflecting now on the ratings. Florida State, Miami got a 6 rating. Miami, Mississippi State, and Alabama, big rating as well. Give me an idea how much the corporate partners are starting to notice this trend.
You know, it's something they've always been a very big part of, and it's reflective in the pricing as well. It's a little bit different a market because, you know, in most other places you can kind of blanket a league because you have that one central institution that can allow you to do that. You can do a major sponsorship with the NHL or the NBA or whoever else, and you don't have to go negotiate 10 different deals. You can negotiate a deal that covers, you know, 10 teams, 20 teams, or an entire league. Now, what's different about college football, and kind of in their best interest, but there are some things blowing up around the country on this, is that you can't do that. There is no central player. Instead, there are a lot of schools who try to do this themselves. But there are also schools who hire agencies, like a Learfield or an IMG, right, and say, we're going to outsource this entire money market to you. And you go out and sell our sponsorships, and you go out and sell our rights, and you go out and sell all of these different things. And so it's getting to be big, big business, and with big, big business comes, you know, some trouble. So you're starting to see alignment on both sides.
Right. Interesting. I'll deviate for a moment. You're in Los Angeles. The Clippers are the better team. The Lakers are the better brand. Where are people gravitating toward in terms of corporate sponsorship and also tickets?
Well, they're starting to gravitate towards the Clippers and add things, but they're not doing it at the expense of the Lakers, right? I mean, the reality is everybody knows what the big brand is here. Everybody knows that it's a tourist. It's the tourist and free agent destination, and everybody knows still that the Clippers are number two. It's going to take a little while for that to change. We have seen that happen in other leagues and in other cities where there are multiple teams, where you can look back at where the Islanders were for quite a long time and, you know, make an argument that they're, you know, the third team now in the region behind the Devils and the Rangers. I think it will take an extended period of haplessness for the Clippers to overcome the Lakers. Haplessness on behalf of the Lakers, and by extended period, I'm saying, you know, 9 to 12 years. I don't think we're anywhere close to that now.
Right. Yeah, Chris Paul gets his fair share, by the way, of advertising, as we see through State Farm. We rarely see anything with Kobe Bryant, for example.
He gets booed at Dodger Stadium. I don't know if you guys see that, but
CP3 gets booed at
Dodger
Stadium.
Games, he gets booed. It's a Laker town, and he laughs about it now.
Really? But Kobe Bryant doesn't get
a big screen, and they boo Chris Paul.
But Kobe Bryant doesn't get a lot of endorsements, at least in terms of national endorsements.
You know, Kobe is – what hurts his national endorsements is the scandal that happened in Colorado. I mean, he's bounced back from that better than like a Ben Roethlisberger has, who you don't see on any national campaigns.
Right.
But, you know, Kobe's big money comes overseas. He is by far and away the biggest thing in China. It's not even close. I mean, he almost doubles LeBron when it comes to merchandise sales and likeness. He's a hero over there. So I don't know how concerned he is, to be totally honest, about national deals anymore, just because of how much money he makes overseas.
Is the overseas market, Tony, important for corporate? Well, we've talked about the soccer component. Okay, that aside, is it important for them and for leagues to market overseas, because that is the last remaining market?
You know, it depends on the league. It's, if you overextend your borders and leave yourself a little bit vulnerable locally, we have seen things change there. We are seeing that change over to the MLS. We have seen the change over from MLB. But what's really happening, you know, globally is, I think you're starting to see what's happening with the global sports. And the reality that FIFA just does so much better with the World Cup than the Super Bowl does, it's not even close. The Olympics is a really big event, and they're trying to find a way to expand this into the global game. I think what the people at the top of the food chain there are seeing is, you know, there are opportunities for us to expand locally and to expand our business by getting involved in things like FanDuel and DraftKings and the daily, you know, fantasy sports thing. But what they're really looking at is, we believe there's going to be a global sport. We want to be it. And that's why you see the NBA franchises fetching so much money. I mean, if you listen to the interviews with Vivek Ranadiva, the owner of the Kings, or, you know, any of the recent buyers of those teams in the NBA, they feel it's the most global game right now, and that's why they're paying up for it. Not to mention they crushed the players in the last, you know, CBA. So,
which is going to be interesting to see when the next one comes up, because the head of the Players Association has been very blunt about what is, in her opinion, the driving force of the NBA, and it's not ownership.
It's not ownership. And look, the reality is, you had an inept leader of the Players Association last time. They got completely done over in the deal, and it's, you know, they're going to have to go back. I think this is going to be a really nasty negotiation. It'll be really interesting to see where it plays out. I mean, the NBA probably knows they have to give. It's just a matter of how much they do give, because if you look at franchise values since the last CBA, you know, they sold the 76ers out of bankruptcy for about $300 million. And now you're seeing the Clippers' $2.1 billion price. Nobody believes that. They think that's an inflated number.
Right.
But you're seeing valuations for other teams that are, you know, 5-6 times what we're seeing at, you know, for the 76ers or for even the Kings, that you can point directly back to that CBA and say, look, this isn't fair. And it's so unfair that people are buying, you know, are buying teams to take advantage of it.
You brought up FIFA in a previous answer. FIFA reaffirmed that in 2018 they're going to Russia, and they reaffirmed that in 2022 they're going to Qatar. Okay? This is the global game, the global market. It's hot, no question. So when it was reaffirmed, the people you talked with that spend the dollars, what was their thought process?
I don't think anybody believes them. And I'll go a step further. I mean, you know, one of the old arguments everybody makes, I'm sure you guys in Big Ten country are having more than enough arguments about Ohio State's credibility to be in the college football playoff, is what do the people who have skin in the game think about this? You know, what's the line in Vegas for this?
Right.
Well, you know what the line is in England for the World Cup to hold in Qatar? It's actually less than the United States right now.
Really?
It is more likely, according to the gamblers in global gamblers, and this is not just the small guys, this is Betfair and the big players, it is more likely to them that the World Cup is going to happen in the United States than it is going to happen in Qatar. Now, that was about a week ago. I don't know if that's flipped again, but yeah, as of last week, your odds were better if you bet that it was going to happen in the United States.
Wow. USC plays
USC. So I don't believe it for a second.
Right.
And especially in, and the thing is, maybe people haven't seen, but you know, FIFA had a report come out last week that was a corruption report, and it could have gone worse, to the point where the guy who did the investigation has come back and said, this investigation that they're presenting you with my name on it is not my investigation. I didn't even do this. And now they're all pointing fingers back and forth, and now people are starting to say, well, if that's the case, then why aren't they getting as much heat as the IOC got in Salt Lake City when they went through the same kind of scandal?
Right. USC plays UCLA this week. I think the game's in the Rose Bowl. Does the game have buzz there? Now, nationally, you know, people are saying two good brands. Does the game have buzz there? And if it doesn't, what does that tell you about the football market in Los Angeles?
It has some buzz. Not what it has. I mean, the reality is, you know, Los Angeles is a fickle market across all sports, in the sense that there's a lot of properties out here and you have to be winning to get attention. Right now, I mean, given the tradition at USC and some of the tradition recently with UCLA, when you have two teams that are, you know, not in the top 10, it doesn't get the same buzz. You know, when you go back to, I think it was 2006 or 2005, you had, you know, number one USC, number six UCLA. That gets a ton of buzz and it becomes a big thing. But it's a very fickle sports market, which is very different from any other market you go to. It's not like when you're in Happy Valley or you're in Lansing and on a Tuesday, you know, every third person you see is wearing green and white or is, you know, sporting Penn State colors. That's just not the way Los Angeles is. So, you know, I know what the next question leads to. Will they care about an NFL team? I don't know if it's going to be much different than what we saw last time with the Raiders and the Rams.
Right. Understandably. All right. Now, Major League Baseball. Stanton's going to get a 13-year backloaded deal, $325 million. I know that the Marlins desperately in South Florida need street cred with their fans. I understand that. And we see some of the other contracts in baseball. Is there going to be that kind of money available, in your opinion, 13 years from now for people to pay out in these contracts in the trends that you're seeing?
I don't know. I don't know for Miami, because the reality is still local TV market games. And that's where the haves and the have-nots really separate each other in baseball. I mean, people think, well, it's more attendance, right? Nobody goes to Marlins games and everybody goes to Yankees games. But that's not really what it is. It's merchandise and it's TV. And the Yankees are pulling in 20X. I mean, that's off the top of my head. It's probably more than that. What the Marlins are pulling off of just their TV deal. So do I think there's going to be that money there? I don't know. I mean, there's a history of people signing horrible deals like that. For example, I think I saw that Bobby Bonilla is one of the top 10 players on the Mets this year. And that is true. Bobby Bonilla is one of the top 10 players on the Mets this year. And they're still paying that out. But the Mets play in the New York market, have a much bigger TV deal and sell more merchandise. So I don't know. But the reality is, I don't know if they care. Because if it gets to that point, they're just going to file for bankruptcy and not pay any of that contract anyways. And it'll turn into a legal battle between MLB and the Players Association.
Right. All right. Yeah, and that's going to be the big battle between the two. Is there enough – when it comes to this, there's three important factors. There's the ownership, what they do, management. There's the players part. And then there's obviously the ticket component. It's not going to happen unless people watch on TV or buy the tickets.
Exactly.
Do you think the players, when it comes to what their demands are, do you think they have a handle on what that number is and the interest number is?
Yeah, I think the Players Association does a pretty good job. I mean, they sit down and understand all of that, and they look at trends. And the one thing the players have going for them is not just the Players Association, but the agents are known for this too. You know, Scott Boras, who's, you know, almost a cuss word when it comes to, you know, pro baseball teams because they don't want to deal with how tough he is. But what he does is he puts together those market analysis and says, look, if you guys do your job on the baseball side, then my player will drive you this much money. And he models out the entire financial resource model for the next 15 years and tries to drive a deal based on that. So, you know, the problem with that is a lot of those things can get a little aggressive. Obviously, they go to the banks to try to get their money. So, I really don't know. I mean, if you're asking me, do I think baseball is going to be healthy in 10 years, I think it's going to be less healthy than it is now. I think, you know, as we've said before, I just don't think that they – I don't think they see what the future is. I don't think they've built that next brand of fan or that next layer of fans, that next generation.
Right.
And the reality is it's, you know, we're getting even more and more – short attention span as a short attention span as a consumer, and baseball's a 4-hour game with a lot of subtleties that they just don't understand. So the Marlins signing Stanton to this seems desperate to me.
I agree. I mean that's an unbelievable. I never thought I'd see a number like that again, but
it's an outrageous number. He's a local boy. He's from right here, 10 miles from our office. But for a guy who is a position player, I mean, that is just outrageous. And he's not a shortstop or an infielder at one of those positions. I mean, he plays a power position.
In Southern California, give me an idea of youth participation. What are they actually participating in that could lead to you to think that they might be interested in the sport 10, 15 years from now as a buyer?
You know, it's mostly soccer out here, and there's a lot of basketball as well. Football is a regional event down here. It's not like it is around the country. When we go to Texas and we see that it's, you know, practically a religion across all neighborhoods, it's just simply not that way here. I mean, they take it very seriously, and they're all, but here it's the private schools. It's not the public schools. So it's, you know, kids with resources that are playing it. I think, you know, soccer's the next thing. It's always been the next thing. It's always had struggles with getting credibility, and that credibility being, well, we know we're not watching the best players, but with the TV deals that are here the way they are now, you can watch the best players. You can watch them every day. And it's slowly taking over in the Southern California area. You go to Texas, you go to Florida, it's still football land. People talk about the demise of football and the coming demise with head injuries. Yeah, I mean, I can see relevancy in that. I agree with Malcolm Gladwell that that's something that many people are starting to see. But if you travel to those areas, even in Ohio, you know, where it's taken very seriously, the sport, it's as healthy as it's ever been.
Hockey participation, though, in California is very high, though, isn't it, among youth?
You know, the problem there is there's not enough ice time, right? When we go to, you know, back east and we have these conversations, you can get ice time. You can go down to the rink and play. You can go down to, you know, the lake and play. You can't do that here, and there's just not enough ice time. So they're trying to build rinks, but they're not finding a way to monetize those rinks during the day. So, you know, to give a good example of why hockey is just never going to become a major spectator sport here in Los Angeles, I live, you know, maybe 10 miles outside of the city center, and the nearest ice rink to me is 25 minutes with no traffic, which in Los Angeles can be an hour. And even if you do want to play, you only get to play Friday night at 10 o'clock. So there's just not the infrastructure here to support that sport moving up and taking a spot in Los Angeles from, you know, soccer or baseball or even football if football does come. But like I said, I mean, I'll be the one to say, corporately, I think football will do well in Los Angeles. I think you'll see good attendance for a couple of years. I don't think it's going to be that healthy a market. I really don't.
What do you read or listen to that allows you to stay and beyond your consumer, because you're always talking to them, so you're
sure
in touch with them. But what do you read industry wise and talk to industry wise that keeps you on the cutting edge all the time, so that in what you do you never fall behind?
Yeah, you know, for us, that's the ultimate challenge. Is you have to find time in your day to make sure you're talking to people who are ahead of the game and understand what they're doing. So, you know, We follow up with, you know, Sports Pro Media and the Sports Business Daily, and, you know, there's a lot of different sites that we check on. And, you know, we're really big with USA Today's new Fields of Green. It's their sports business site that is, you know, a lot of people who are involved in the game now. You know, we keep up with the trade networks, you know, the Association of Luxury Suite Directors. I mean, there's a couple of things. So if a fan's saying, hey, I really want to understand the business side of this, I would start with the Fields of Green, which is a USA Today site. And then I would start, and then I would move on to, you know, the Sports Business Daily. And, you know, they have things for students there that allow you to read about them. from there, we just dig in, right? Something people may not have noticed, but I'm sure you do when you're listening to ESPN Radio or watching ESPN, is the big battle between DraftKings and FanDuel.
Right.
And how that's playing out, and how people are getting involved. We pick up the phone and we call the guys who built those gambling companies. I mean, what the NBA took a interest in that company. So now the NBA is a part owner in it. So people say last week, so they announced that last Wednesday in all of our trades. So if you're reading those things, if you're reading the Field of Green, if you're reading the Sports Business Daily, you see, hey, the NBA took a ownership interest in one of these fantasy daily sites, right? Well, the next day, Adam Silver does a press release that's all over ESPN and then does a conference that says gambling should be legal. Now, if you knew that they took an ownership interest in one of those companies, are you now surprised by this?
Right. Exactly.
Right? Of course they think it needs to be legal. They're going to make a lot of money if it's legal.
Absolutely.
So that's what we do. And really, most of our insight comes from we see so much data. You know, we see so much fly through. You know, there's a lot of buzz out there about this is the next sport or that's the next sport, but we get to see what the consumers are doing in our customers. We get to see where they're going. We get to see what they buy. And that's what makes it interesting for us. And it's, you know, it's been great. We've been very lucky.
Do you look at gambling trends in London, and do you look at gambling trends in Las Vegas?
Yes, we look at both of them. Small world, my cousin actually founded the world's largest online gambling company, Betfair.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. My first cousin sold it for $1 billion.
Wow.
So sometimes I'll just pick up the phone and call him. But we pay attention to that stuff when it comes to, like, the Qatar FIFA World Cup.
Right.
I mean, the reality is these are guys who are spending all of their time looking into that data. They know things that I don't know. And when that line moved 2 weeks ago, I found it very interesting. It has never moved on Russia. Russia has always been favored to host in 2018.
Right.
But we've seen precedents for this with the Women's World Cup before.
Mm-hmm.
Being moved to the United States.
Yep.
I would not be surprised if that happened again. I'm just not sure it'd be the United States. The United States or England.
Tony Knopp, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. Our monthly talk. Kevin in the fetal position in the corner. The semifinals name for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Morton Anderson, Steve Atwater, Tim Brown, Isaac Bruce, Don Coryell, Roger Craig, Terrell Davis, Tony Dungy, Kevin Green, Charles Haley, Marvin Harrison, Torrey Holt, Joe Jacoby, Edgerrin James, Jimmy Johnson, Mike Ken, Ty Law, John Lynch, Kevin Mawai, Carl Mecklenburg, Orlando Pace, Junior Seau, Will Shields, Kurt Warner, and Darren Woodson. Yeah, it is quite a list.
And wouldn't Morton Anderson be the first actual kicker that would be in the Hall of Fame if he was so elected? I mean, I think Bland is in there, but I don't
Bland
know.
Bland is in for, yes, both,
but,
yeah.
But really, as a pure kicker, no other position.
Right.
Wait, that's all? There's no other names you're leaving off the list?
Morton Anderson, Steve Atwater, Tim Brown, Isaac Bruce, Don Coryell, Roger Craig, Terrell Davis, Tony Dungy, Kevin Green, Charles Haley, Marvin Harrison, Torrey Holt, Joe Jacoby, Edgerrin James, Jimmy Johnson, Mike Ken, Ty Law, John Lynch, Kevin Mawai, Carl Mecklenburg, Orlando Pace, Junior Seau, Will Shields, Kurt Warner, Darren Woodson.
And how many, Steve, out of that group, or would you think it'll be that actually get selected?
There'll be five.
Okay.
Five will get selected.
Some tough choices.
Yeah. Who would you choose, Kev?
Unfortunately, he's not on the list.
Jerome Bettis!
Actually, he is. Jerome Bettis
Thank
is on
you.
The list.
Oh. That's more like it.
But you know who's not on the list that actually should be? Is Steve Wisniewski should be on the list.
Oh, absolutely.
Steve Wisniewski should have made the semifinals. I would pick him over Mike Ken with complete ease any day. And I think he and Joe Jacoby are pretty much in the same league as Will Shields. But yeah, Jerome Bettis is on the list. Jerome Bettis will get to the top 10, but again, we'll be on the outside looking in. He won't make the final five.
Yards per carry is going to kill him.